In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, most loving and affectionate Father, your name is holy. Everything is in a name. Grant to us an understanding of your most holy and sacred name, that we may always reverence it and use it with great love and affection. We ask this through Christ, our beloved Lord. The second commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Of course, everyone refers, when they think of this, as cursing. When you use God's name in vain, you use his name in an angry way. But there are so many other ways of sinning against this, wishing someone evil. Why? Because when God creates someone, he creates them in his image and likeness. So when we wish evil upon someone, we wish evil upon God's creation itself. And so therefore, we sin against God and his goodness and his holy name. To slander someone. Now the church teaches and has always taught that every single person has a right to their good name, whether or not they are worthy of it. They have a right to their good name. And when we slander someone or insult a sacred person, such as a pope or a priest or a bishop, and we publicly mock them, we therefore mock God in his plan for salvation. Most certainly, no one is perfect. When I was in the seminary, they told us the definition of a priest is a sinner chosen from among sinners to help sinners. And that's the definition of every ordained man. A sinner chosen from among sinners to help sinners. And maybe that's one of the big problems in our society, is we've forgotten the fact that we are even capable of sinning. The whole world feels that sin doesn't exist anymore. And yet it does. Taking an oath in a secret society, that didn't end with the Second Vatican Council. Secret societies are wrong. Secret societies, you can be excommunicate yourself by joining a secret society. And most of the oaths in a secret society lead a person toward humanism, toward the glorification of the human being rather than of God, and recognizing the place that the human person has in the scheme of things, in the beauty of creation, coupled with that magnificence of redemption. Blasphemy, hatred or reproach, or even defiance toward God, this destroys the inside of a person. Whether or not a person believes in God is a choice that they make. But when one is filled with hatred and they blaspheme God, it is at that time that they are literally destroying the good within themselves. I have never met a person who hated God or who would blaspheme that was at peace. And their lack of peace doesn't come from anyone else but from within themselves. You see, the commandments are means to loving, but they are also means to peace, to interior peace, to peace among our brothers and sisters and peace in the world. If we accept and embrace the Ten Commandments that God has given us, society itself will grow in peace and unity. It cannot help but do so. For many hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years, the commandments have given societies hope. It has given mankind a sense of understanding and belonging to someone greater than themselves. And that is the Godhead. And so to take the gifts that God has given us and to abuse them by blaspheming or turning against God or insulting sacred persons, perjuring ourselves, swearing under oath, and swearing falsely, all these can do is destroy the inside of the individual. You see, these first three commandments deal with a personal relationship with God. This is my relationship with my beloved Father in heaven, with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, living in the spirit of love and forgiveness and kindness and gentleness that he gives me. And if I follow this, I cannot help but become a better member of society, a better member of my family, and always more at peace within myself. For that is really the purpose of God's law. And that is our peace and our joy, our happiness. Without these commandments, man cannot be happy. Not really and truly happy. He can pretend to be happy. He can fill his life with things and junk and clutter himself up and lean on them and use them as crutches. But he will never soar like an eagle. He will never fly. He will never see in the whole picture and the beauty of all that surrounds him. Because if, and only if, one sees God as their loving and affectionate Father, are they liberated from the slavery of things and from the errors that loving those things place upon us and the burden that they inflict upon those who do not know, love, and serve God. To know, love, and serve God is literally to be free. To know, love, and serve God, to obey His commandments, is to literally be a free citizen of heaven. We begin heaven on earth. Sure we do. There's no utopia here. Look at the people around us. There's no utopia. There's still poverty. There's still sickness. We can't get away from it because we can't get away from sin. The fact that nature, human nature, is broken. The fact that nature itself is broken by way of sin is obvious to any fool. What makes us wise is to realize that it doesn't have to be that way. That we can truly embrace the will of God, to embrace the truth of His presence among us, to reverence His name and make it holy by the lives we live. And in every single aspect of these commandments, there is no other effect than to make us greater citizens, not only of this earth, but of eternity. The choice is ours. No one can thrust upon us the absolute commandment to be happy. To be filled with joy, it's an individual human choice. But when we look at these 10 beautiful laws of heaven, laws of love, we can't help but be moved. Moved to loving God, loving neighbor as we love ourselves, and living a life consecrated to the good, to the truth, to God, our most loving and affectionate Father.